Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people's stories and events in Central Iowa. I am your host for this morning, Rebecca Reuter. Thank you for listening in. Susan Franson is currently on vacation, so me and Ursula Runenberg, we're going to try to do justice to her work in covering the heart of Iowa, our Central Iowa listening area. Let's get on with this morning's show. Leanne Harder, Story County Outreach and Special Projects Manager, is here with us in the studio with a monthly Story County update. Welcome back, Leanne.
Thank you. Good morning.
And I understand you have a little guest here.
We do have a guest.
Yay.
I have one of our interns from Story County, Rachel Wilson, so I'd like to welcome her. Good morning, Rachel.
Good morning, Leanne.
Would you like to just tell us briefly about you, yourself?
I will be a senior at Iowa State in business management this year, and I've really enjoyed my time at Story County.
What has been the one project that you've thought has been the best experience you've taken away from Story County so far?
So far, I've really liked the Story County Fair one. So,
which is a great segue. It's going to sound like we rehearsed this. but Story County is going to, government is actually going to have a booth down at the Story County Fair this year. So we're asking everyone to come look for us at the fair. And we'll be down by the Rabbit and Poultry Barn. So those of you that come down to Story County Fair July 21st through 26th, come visit us. We'll have goodies. We'll be able to answer questions, maybe point you in the right direction if we don't know the question. So that's a great opportunity to get to meet the people and have the people get to meet who's serving you at Story County.
And for those that are not from Story County or are relatively new to the area, where is the fair at?
That's a great question. It's in Nevada at 220 H Avenue.
All right.
So you can put that in your phone and find it. I think Rachel might even have some tools to help you find other county buildings, QR codes, etc. when you get down there, if you want to know more about Story County's other buildings.
All right.
So again, Story County Fair, July 21st through the 26th in Nevada at 220 H Avenue. You can't miss it, really. Also, news from the Story County Animal Control, the Chasin' Tails fundraiser is coming up July 15th. It's a memorial run, but they say come bring your motorcycle, a convertible, a car, truck, whatever you want to ride in. The key is to join in the fun and just come support the animals. All the proceeds go towards the animal shelter. Again, it's July 15th.
Could you come on a horse?
I don't know that. I will have to get
a tail.
That's a great question. Horse and buggy even too. Yeah, I will find that and get that back out for clarification. We've not had that question raised.
That's what radio is all about.
It is. $15 a rider. So horse, you ride a horse, or $20 a couple. Registration that morning, and then kickstands or maybe in the saddle at noon. Meet in Roland at the Outsiders Pub. So again, July 15th. From Story County Environmental Health, they want to remind everyone that there will be a public discussion on the CAFO master matrix. CAFO stands for Concentrated Animal Feeding Operations. So the larger hog and cattle operations you see in the community, in the county, are called CAFOs. That public discussion will be held at the Board of Supervisors regular meeting on July 18th, so next Tuesday. That meeting generally starts at 10 a.m. The announcement and the agenda for that meeting will go out this coming Friday at noon. So I encourage people to check the agenda, see where it is on the agenda so you don't
miss. And that's on your website?
It's on our website, right, which is storycountyiowa.gov. You can also email or call, let me just say call, the Environmental Health Department at 515-382-7240. Then it was a year ago or thereabouts that I was here starting to talk about and celebrate that the cornerstone of Capstone, which we call the C2C plan, was adopted by the Board of Supervisors. That is the Story County's very first comprehensive plan. It's comprehensive in that it looks at land use, economics, our economy, transportation, housing, the entire gamut. We planned really well back in, starting in the 1950s, but it took us until really 2016 to do it comprehensively. Well, a year later, we're looking at it. When we adopted it, we said it's not going to sit on the shelf. We're going to look at it every year. That annual review now is underway. And there, the survey that we used in 2015 to develop the C2C plan, we're using again. It's the very same questions, with the exception of one, inviting people to open houses, because those aren't relevant right now. Mm-hmm. We're asking people to go back, look at those questions. If they agree with what they think they answered, there's a box you can check and say, I took it, I agree with it. If you took it and you think maybe some dynamics in Story County have changed, there's another box you can take and then go through the survey again. It'll take about 10 minutes. And then a lot of people have moved to Story County since 2015, or maybe weren't aware of the opportunity to be engaged 2 years ago. We want to hear from that segment of the population too. And so those people can take it brand new. We'll take those survey results, look at the goals and objectives of the plan, and if we think fundamentally that we have a paradigm shift and we need to go back and revisit the plan and the goals, we're going to do that. If we think everything's on track to how it was a couple years ago, I'll share that with the Board of Supervisors, and then we'll continue to implement the plan. But you can get it on the county's website. We use SurveyMonkey, so okay. it's an easy walkthrough survey. We're only doing it online. There are no paper copies this time. But if you want to call me, I'll be glad to walk people through the survey. I'm at 515-382-7247. I'll get my email at the end, too. And then it's the time of year where school elections are coming up. School elections will be September 12th, and Lucy Martin, who is our Story County Auditor and Commissioner of Elections, has announced the candidate filing period. Actually, Monday, those seeking candidacy to school boards can start getting their papers. So it's past Monday, July 10th.
Yeah.
And you go to either the county auditor's office, you can go to the Secretary of State's office, or you can go right to your school board's office or school district office, too, to get the candidacy papers. There are requirements for the number of signatures you need on the petition, but that deadline to get your petitions filed is August 3rd, and they go back to where you got them. Mm-hmm. Then again, as I said, elections will be on September 12th. There are a lot of people. I was looking at the list of all the school districts in Story County. A lot of seats will either be vacant or they have incumbents.
Oh, wow.
But a lot of seats will be up for either election or re-election. So it's a great I'm speaking of firsthand experience. I do serve on the Nevada School Board, and it is a great opportunity to get involved in your community and really learn about the ins and outs of school. So I highly recommend it to anyone.
All right.
And then the last thing I want to point out is we are looking at refreshing the Story County website. Again, it's storycountyiowa.gov. It's been in the way it looks for about the past 5 years or so, and I think it's time to maybe give it a new makeover. We've heard a lot of concerns from people. You have to click about maybe 7 to 8 times to get to what you need. We don't want that.
No, that's not very ergonomic.
No, it's not. It's not very friendly either, mm-hmm. to have to do that. I expect people to actually understand where they need to go. We want to make it more intuitive, but
especially when it comes to government.
Exactly. Yeah. Responsive to what people need. So we ask people out there, we'll have a survey that we'll be distributing. It'll be online and our social media. Look at our website. Give us feedback. Help us as we go through this design phase. And even post-design, when we get ready to launch it, let us know, did we listen? Have we done it the right way? Mm-hmm. And all that kind of good stuff.
And so, how can people give feedback about the website?
I'll give my email again, or give a call. Again, I'm at 515-382-7247. My email address is lharter@storycountyiowa.gov. So lharter@storycountyiowa.gov. Then finally, again, look for us down at the Story County Fair, July 21st through 26th. We have a lot of really new tools that we're playing with at Story County to engage citizens or to let people know what's happening. And so we'll be introducing some of those topics and just have some, there'll be display boards, some of the standard stuff that county or governments do, but it'll be an opportunity for people really to learn what Story County is doing on behalf of citizens.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Leanne.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. We've been getting a monthly update from Story County from Leanne Harder, Story County Outreach and Special Projects Manager.
And this is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm Ursula Rudenberg, your co-host today with Rebecca. And on Monday, starting this week, hundreds of people in canoes have been floating down the Cedar River in northeast Iowa. It has not just been for fun, though. Along the way, they've been moving thousands of items of trash from the river. And this event is called Project Aware, a Watershed Awareness River Expedition. KHOI's reporter, Gail Seidler, is actually there participating. She's collecting trash as we speak. But before she left to do this, she spoke with Lynette Sigley, the coordinator for Project Aware, before they all started down the river on Monday.
I'm speaking with Lynette Sigley from the Iowa Department of Natural Resources. And among her other duties, Lynette is the Project Aware coordinator. So thanks for talking with us, Lynette. I know you must be in the final stages of preparation for Project Aware, so I'm sure it's a busy time.
Yes, all of the pieces are coming together nicely, and so we'll have everything ready to go by Monday morning when the event starts.
So Project Aware stands for what? Tell our listeners what it stands for.
The Aware stands for a Watershed Awareness River Expedition, and Project Aware began back in 2003. The event is sponsored by the Iowa Department of Natural Resources, and the event began as a way to engage the citizens of Iowa, getting them out on our river resources, gaining sort of an appreciation and an understanding of some of the water quality issues and opportunities that we face, and engaging them in an activity where we're able to remove trash in the process, so improve the resource for future people who might want to use that particular river.
And you use the word watershed in the title of Aware. Explain what a watershed is.
A watershed is a land area that drains to a particular body of water. So you've got a watershed associated with rivers, watersheds associated with lakes. And watersheds come in different sizes. And the reason we focus on watersheds is that the quality of the water in a lake, a stream, a river is really a reflection of what's going on in that particular watershed. How's the land being used? What impacts are occurring that can directly affect the water quality and quantity issues in that particular watershed?
So you enlist many volunteers, and I'm going to ask you about this year's event more specifically in a little bit. But just in general, this is a multi-day event, and people get up each morning and get in canoes and canoe sections of a river, short to long.
So each day, the average distance that we cover may be from 10 to 17 miles. It varies day to day depending on the stretch of river that we're on. The group will tent camp, we'll get up in the morning, we'll provide the canoes, you'll get breakfast and lunch, and then we launch you. And so they'll paddle down river in the canoes, and as they come across the trash, they'll work together to sort of remove it from the river and load it in their canoes. And then we'll have halfway and end points where we can check in with the volunteers, make sure everything is going okay, unload the trash, and then we'll recycle as much of the trash as we can that's coming off the river. And the Department of Natural Resources sponsors Project Aware, but we also have 90 sponsors this year, either in-kind or monetary contributions that are making this event possible. And some of those contributions include tire recycling, so the tires will get recycled that come off the river. The scrap metal is being handled by Mitchell County and Floyd County conservation. And so there's a number of organizations that are helping with the recycling piece. The landfill up in Floyd, Mitchell, and Chickasaw County waived tipping fees. So everybody's working together to get the trash out of the river and then recycle what we can that comes off.
And I was one of the Aware volunteers the last 2 years, and I'll be there again this week. And I know that it gets to be quite an event to see who can find what. So there's a bit, it's not just a slog and, you know, picking up trash. It's really fun because people get a little competitive in a good way about who can find the biggest trash or the funniest trash.
And we try to do trash trophy categories each day. So Depending on what people find and what the category is each day, the story that they can develop around that piece of trash. And we have prizes that they can hang on to for 24 hours until the next day, and we start the whole process over again.
So give some examples. You mentioned tires. What other kind of trash is removed from the river?
We end up pulling out a lot of scrap metal as well, and the scrap metal really varies in size and sort of how long it's been in the river, what type of scrap metal it is. But tires and scrap metal are the big items that come out. We find appliances, pretty much anything that you might find in your house we've pulled out over the years. You know, everything down to pop bottles and cans. So it's sort of a combination of what I call legacy trash, older trash that's been in the river for a while, and then some newer trash as well. And I think one of the goals of AWARE is once we send a couple hundred volunteers down a stretch of river, the river's going to be a lot cleaner, and hopefully it'll stay that way well into the future.
And that the future users will notice that it's clean, and that will promote them to keep it clean.
Yes. Trash tends to attract more trash. So if we can minimize what's in the river, I think in the end we'll end up with less in our rivers.
And in thinking about how trash ends up in our rivers, some of it, I guess, is directly deposited there by people, but some of it washes down from other places, right?
Right. So there's sort of a city effect that we sometimes will see where immediately downstream of some of the larger cities, there might be an increased amount of trash that we find, so trash that's washed in. You know, it used to be people had dump sites out on their properties, so we'll sometimes come across old dump sites that over time the river is just sort of eroded and cut into those dump sites. And then there's careless trash that's been discarded in our rivers as well.
So last year, the cleanup was on a section of the Des Moines River. And how much, just to give people an idea, how much trash was removed last year?
Last year on the lower Des Moines River, volunteers ended up removing 40 tons of trash. And of that, 77% of it we were able to recycle. And we had about 329 volunteers with us at some point during the week. And one of the nice aspects of Project AWARE is a volunteer can come for just a day, a couple of days, or the entire week. So we've got people coming and going during the week, and then some volunteers will participate for the entire week.
And this year's cleanup starts on Monday, and this year the river is a section of the Cedar River, right?
Yes, we're going to be covering 55 miles of the Cedar River starting at the Iowa-Minnesota border in Mitchell County, and then we'll come down through Osage and Mitchell County, and then in through Charles City, and we'll end just outside of Nashville. So we'll be covering pretty much the entire Cedar River in Mitchell and Floyd counties this year.
And how do you choose the river each year?
We look at where we've got gaps in the map, where we've been before, what rivers we would like to try to get volunteers on, where there's local interest. And with the Cedar, there's a lot of activity going on in the Cedar River watershed. We've got Charles City with the Whitewater Park. They had modified one of their Lowhead dams a number of years ago. And so it's this major recreational attraction now. So we want to highlight what Charles City has been doing. And then there's the Upper Cedar River Watershed Management Authority. There are a number of watershed management authorities around Iowa focused on watershed, water quantity, water quality issues. So the Upper Cedar is a very active group, and with the educational programming that we'll be doing throughout the week, we'll have a chance to highlight what landowners are doing to address water quality and water quantity issues in that particular watershed.
You always line up interesting speakers and programming for the evening. Can you give us a little more information on what some of that programming might be this year?
We'll be staying two nights at Interstate Park, and so there is an old mill dam there that people have a chance to learn about the history of that. The Iowa Geological Survey has been doing geologic mapping up in Mitchell and Floyd counties, and so Ryan Clark with the Iowa Geological Survey will be talking about their mapping efforts. Hamlin Garland was a Pulitzer Prize author who spent a number of years in the Osage St. Ansgar area. So Kurt Meyer is going to talk about sort of his legacy. Dennis Carney is going to talk about the Cedar River watershed efforts. With Charles City and the Whitewater Park, the Iowa Whitewater Coalition is going to be doing a demonstration on the Whitewater Park Wednesday afternoon. Volunteers will have a chance to go over to the Rockfish Fossil and Prairie Park. The Floyd County Conservation staff and others will be leading a field trip over there. Volunteers will have a tour of the Floyd County Historical Museum and a chance to learn about the tractor industry in Charles City. And Safe Hygienic Lab will be doing some fish shocking to sort of talk about the different types of fish that are in the Cedar River and what they tell us about water quality. And then also looking at the aquatic insects in the river as indicators of water quality. And then Nate Holgevane from the Department of Natural Resources will be talking about dam modification efforts across Iowa and also specifically what's been done in Charles City. So we have a variety of topics that are being covered. And then Elizabeth Reed and Cherie Arts from the Office of State Archaeologists will be along. They'll sort of be our resident archaeologists. And then Kata McCarville and Ryan Clark will be our resident geologists along the way, sort of highlight the archaeology and geology that the volunteers will be encountering along the way.
That sounds fantastic.
What we really try to do is so many people have not necessarily visited these areas or these communities, so it's a chance to highlight what makes these areas unique and sort of encourage them to come back and spend time in the future vacationing in those areas.
The logistics involved must just be incredible. You provide meals, canoes, the trash pickup. You have to be aware of safety, and you must have a lot of people at DNR and volunteers coordinating all that and helping you.
Right. So I'll have a staff of about 22 who will be along the week and just making the event run smoothly. And what volunteers who are on the river don't realize is everything that goes on behind the scenes. Our intent is to make the event run smoothly and for it to be a memorable experience for everyone who comes on the event. And this year is a record year in terms of the number of volunteers. I couldn't believe the registrations that just kept pouring in. And so we're going to have more people on the event this year than we have in the previous 14 years, and in fact, each day we'll be averaging over 200 people on the river. Basically, people from all over. About half of the volunteers are new to the event, and the other half have been on the event at one time or another. And we've got people ranging in age from 2 to a very young 77 coming on the event.
That's fantastic. Knowing that not everyone can volunteer and be a part of Project Aware, what can our listeners who are not going to be on the river cleanup do to help keep Iowa rivers clean?
What I would say is anytime that you're in a park or near stream or river and you happen to come across trash, I mean, just take the opportunity to pick it up. I think what volunteers, once they've been unaware and they spend a week picking up trash, they find themselves doing that when they're out on the river just on a personal trip themselves, that it's hard not to pick up trash when they see it. I think it changes your behavior after being on the event. I would just encourage people to get out and enjoy Iowa's water resources. I think oftentimes people leave the state, and we've got a lot to offer here in Iowa, and I encourage people to take advantage of our water resources.
That's a good thought to close on. Thanks very much, and let's hope the weather's good and the trash picking is plenty.
Yes, definitely.
That was Gail Seiler, KHOI reporter, speaking with Lynette Sigley, the coordinator of Project Aware, a watershed awareness river expedition. Lynette and others, including Gail, are at this event right now. They're having breakfast as we speak, breaking camp on the Cedar River, and getting ready to get into their canoes and begin another day of picking up trash and enjoying the beautiful Cedar River. Let's check in with Gail and see what's going on. We actually have Gail on the phone right now, and she has some of the other Project Aware participants around her. Gail, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi, Gail. So where the heck are you?
We are near the town of Mitchell, Iowa.
Okay.
And this will be our third day on the river.
What part of the state are you in?
We're in the north central part of Iowa, on the upper Cedar River. Is that right, folks who know Iowa better than I do? They're nodding their head. Yeah, we're on the upper Cedar River, and this is our third day of floating. We started up near the Minnesota border.
So how are you doing?
Oh, it's been great. We've had great weather. It hasn't been too hot. We haven't had any rain, although today it's supposed to be really hot. We're doing great. Yesterday we had over 200 people on the river. I don't know what the count is for today, but we hauled out a lot of trash. So I personally found a dishwasher.
You found a dishwasher? A whole dishwasher?
And a dishwasher was sitting on the edge of the river, kind of rusted, and yeah, we pulled that out and put it in a canoe.
That's incredible. How do you pull a dishwasher out? How many people?
With a lot of effort.
With a lot of people,
and
right?
And care, because it had sharp edges, but we're equipped with gloves, and some people have shovels and all that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
This is a very serious river-devoted crew.
Are you having breakfast right now?
Yeah, so I pulled two people out of the breakfast line, so to speak, to talk with us a little bit and tell us about why they come on Project Aware.
Okay, just before you do that, just paint us a picture of exactly where you are. Are you in a campsite by the river, in the woods,
in
the field?
Yeah, we're in a campground right on the bank of the Cedar River above a dam, so we're going to have to walk, carry the canoes. Oh, no, the canoes are already down there. Oh, you may be hearing an announcement in the mm-hmm. background. They're getting people ready. They're giving them some instruction. But it's beautiful. It's a beautiful treed campground.
Are you
and
in tents?
Everyone's packing up their gear because tomorrow night we'll be at a different camping area downstream.
Are you in tents?
We were camping in tents, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And is this like an official campground or is this a makeshift campground?
It is. It's called Interstate Park. It is, I think, an official campground. Yeah.
Okay.
But it's a beautiful spot.
Who do you have with you?
I have two folks with me. Let's talk first with Ron Mildenstein. So, Ron, tell us who you are and where you're from and how long you've been coming.
Well, as you said, my name is Ron Mildenstein. This is my ninth year on Aware. I was living in Iowa City when we started doing Aware, but now I live in South Texas. And it started off as a way to introduce my daughter to camping and canoeing, and it's kind of escalated from there.
You used to do it when you lived in Iowa, and now you just keep coming back, and you came all the way from Texas.
That is correct, yes.
And your daughter, Sarah, I understand, she's in the breakfast line, but she's an ISU grad. She just graduated and came up here from Colorado.
That is correct, yes. She flew in. So I met her at the airport and brought her the rest of the way from Omaha.
So how was your day yesterday on the river?
Well, we weren't as fortunate as you. We didn't find too much, and although I did manage to be able to help people dig some stuff out of the mud. So it made it worthwhile.
The Cedar River is a relatively, it seems so far, cleaner than the river we were on last year.
Yes, it's surprisingly a clean river. Disappointingly so, but at the same time, we're really happy to see that it's this clean.
These folks are addicted to trash, so they're disappointed when they don't find trash. Okay, Ron, thanks very much, and thanks for your efforts to continue cleaning up Iowa rivers. We have time for another one, Ursula?
Yes, we do.
Okay. I'm going to speak with Mark Bonner. And Mark, who are you, and where do you come from?
I'm Mark Bonner. I live in Lamars, Iowa, and this is my 13th year with Project Aware.
You're one of the it's been going on for 15 years, right. So you've made all but two.
I missed the first 2 years. I didn't know about it.
Okay. And what do you do in Lamars?
I am the regional manager for the Iowa Farm Bureau Federation, so I take care of the county farm bureaus up in the northwest corner of Iowa.
Okay. So why do you keep coming on this?
Well, once you've done a little bit of it, you get addicted. And it's grown from there, and now I can hardly fish anymore. I had to see trash. I work on the trash instead of fishing. So these people are just inspired me to just keep going and picking up trash wherever I'm at. And I look forward to this every week, every year. It's part of my vacation.
And you work for the Farm Bureau. Do you see a connection between Iowa river quality and water quantity and farming?
Well, that's a big part of our job, is to try to improve water quality, air quality, and this fits right in. And I'm trying to get a connection between some of the people that don't understand what farmers do and bridge that gap on why everybody has to participate to get better water quality in the state of Iowa. So Farm Bureau is very involved with trying to improve water quality and encouraging our members to do what's right.
An important message. So what was your favorite part, either from yesterday or from a past year, an exciting memory?
Well, as I told the group we were on the, I believe it, the Iowa or Cedar River south of Iowa City, and somebody volunteered to bring an airboat, and but it was not his airboat, and we loaded it up as much as we could, and the gentleman said, keep putting stuff on, and we did. And once he fired it up, it went straight to the bottom of the river. So that was one memory I'll never forget. The airboat was never volunteered again.
Instant garbage.
That's a good one. A lesson learned. A lesson learned. So it's just an amazing scene. It's like a bunch of worker bees. Last night they showed a video. Someone had filmed the morning putting in yesterday morning and then played it back, you know, like sped up last night, and we watched it on a screen, and it was just hysterical to see 200 people loading their stuff for the day into a canoe and heading off downstream to search for trash. It's real, and now it's like a beehive of activity here this morning.
Okay. Gail, can you hear me again?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Tell us about the trash. The dishwasher, was that the biggest trash?
Some people found some substantial things yesterday. Can anyone remind me, what else did people find yesterday that was significant? I saw people with rolls of old fence wire, lots of tires.
A rolling plastic trash can.
That had rolled down. And when we find these things, they're often filled with mud,
mm-hmm.
still half buried in the river, embedded, and sometimes take several people to get them out. So what will happen is often someone will see something and be working on getting it out, and other canoes will come by and, do you need some help? Or you need help loading that in? And so it's a real communal effort. There's a wonderful spirit here.
I was with a group the other day, and they found an old rusted out boiler that from school or something. It was about 800 pounds that we loaded up on the canoe. And then the next mile we find a rusted out tricycle. So we find everything.
Does that give you some idea?
Yeah, I'm still trying to visualize this. In my mind, I'm visualizing a garbage truck right driving along the river next to you, which I know isn't exactly.
No.
So where exactly do these big objects go once you've...
It goes in the canoe. You cram as much as you can in. And sometimes, if it's very big, they'll put it across two canoes. And then the two canoes have to paddle the rest of the way until there's a pickup point to get trash out. The rest of the time together, which is a cooperative effort in and of itself. I've never had to do that, but you pack as much as you can in there. The canoes start to sit lower in the water because they get heavy.
You put the dishwasher in your canoe?
Mm-hmm. The dishwasher went between, I was paddling in the back and the other person was in the bow, and we put it between us and wedged it in there with a whole bunch of other stuff on top of it.
Wow, yeah. That's amazing.
And much of this stuff gets recycled. When at the point where we take it out of our canoe, they have a whole sorting procedure there. So the tires all get recycled, metal gets recycled, and it's an amazing orchestration of effort.
And then they have trash trucks at the campsites that the trash goes into the trucks.
Yeah, or the recycling. Yeah, and they coordinate with a lot of local organizations. You know, a tire company is recycling the tires for free. They work with the county recycling, whatever the recycling facilities are. What are the two counties we're in?
Mitchell and Chickasaw.
Mm-hmm. Mitchell and Chickasaw? Okay, so they work with those two counties to, you know, get everything taken care of. And yeah.
Okay, we're talking with Gail Seiler, and she's at the site of Project AWARE, Project of Department of Natural Resources.
Department of Natural Resources, right.
And one more question. In the interview we just heard prior to speaking with you, we heard that they kind of help you be aware of what's unique about the area that you're in. Is there, what have you discovered that's unique about the Cedar River in that part of the state?
Well, tonight when we get to, what's the town we're getting to tonight?
Oh, we'll be in Charles City tonight, camping right along the river. And Charles City is where the community and the state have come together to mitigate a low-head dam that was very dangerous, and now it's become a whitewater park. So people can rent inner tubes or take kayaks or on air mattresses and safely go what used to be really a killing machine and just have a lot of fun. So we're very, very excited about that tonight.
And that was Linda Applegate.
Okay.
Who's responsible for me coming on this to begin with.
Yeah, okay.
And she's a 13-year veteran. So that's one thing that we're looking forward to tonight. But we've been learning about the archaeology, the geology, and some of the local history. Last night we heard about a local author named
Hamlin Garland.
Tamlin Garland, who was a local Pulitzer Prize winning author, I think. And we had someone speaking about him last night.
Excellent. Well, thank you for checking in with us, taking the time to be on the radio while you're out in the beautiful river. And
you're welcome. Thanks to all my folks who got out of the breakfast line to to speak with us.
Okay. Well, carry on and happy hunting.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm Ursula Rudenberg, your host today with Rebecca Reuter. Thank you for joining us, and thanks to Gail for thinking of us and taking the trouble to call us from the Cedar River. We were speaking with her by cell phone while she's on Project AWARE, a Watershed Awareness River Expedition, a program of the Department of Natural Resources where folks apparently from all over the country converge on Iowa and pick up trash.
Sometimes it takes a rainy day just to let you know everything's gonna be
listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. Chris Williamson with Waterfall. And Susan Guiasta is here, Public Relations Officer for the City of Ames, together with Mark Ganson, Civil Engineer. Susan, you're here for your monthly update. Welcome back. It's good to have you.
Oh, good morning. It's always great to be here. So much stuff is happening in Ames. Before I get to that, I always start with the best part, which is construction, because that's probably the topic that we get the most questions on at this time of the year, and we have been really busy.
Absolutely. Just want to cover some of the major projects impacting the town, starting with South 3rd Street. We have traffic control set up on that as of the last couple days here. The work involves a full closure on South 3rd Street, South 4th Street from South Grand Avenue over to South Walnut Avenue.
Yeah, so it's moved east.
We're moving east.
Yes.
Yep. Yep. We're on the other side of Grand Avenue. So our detour still uses Lincoln Way, but we're getting up to Lincoln Way using Grand and Duff. So You know, anticipated duration on that project is about 6 to 8 weeks. It's a major reconstruction of the pavement, basically south of Hy-Vee and Lincoln Center there. We're also doing asphalt resurfacing from Walnut over to Duff. We're trying to do that work while we have everyone detoured, so it reduces the impact. But we are keeping access to businesses. We're going to keep two lanes open, one lane in each direction from Walnut to Duff. And keep that cross access for those businesses. So we'll have some message boards up on Duff and some other signs probably up on Lincoln Way to help people find those businesses a little bit better and kind of know where they need to go for that one, since it is a pretty major project in town. Another project we got going on is the South Duff Median. Our contractors moved back into the project area, mainly on the Walmart access side right now, so not really impacting any of the traffic on South Duff currently. We do still need to get the traffic signals and everything installed along Duff for that. I'm not quite sure on a timeline right now. Ordering some of those signal parts can take quite a while, so I'm not exactly sure when they'll be coming in, but that is expected, you know, in the summer time frame still.
Mm-hmm.
Another project that work continues on is Lincoln Way, Sheldon to Highland. Pretty big development
project
out there.
Yeah.
You know, time frame on that is still pretty long. I know originally we were thinking about 18 months when it started. So, you know, that lane closure and how we have the three lanes out there, mm-hmm, right now is anticipated to go into 2018, mm-hmm, probably into the summer of 2018.
Yeah.
So,
long range.
Very long range, big project. But
also where Stang and 6th Street meet, there's a lot of stuff going on, but you can drive through that.
Yes.
It's a university project.
University.
University. Okay. I've been caught in that as well.
Yeah.
Yes,
but you can make your way through
the
it.
The university is doing, obviously they use the summer to, uh-huh, do a lot of those in campus kinds of roads, road reconstructions, and that area is congested, so
yeah,
you really have to pay attention.
But you can navigate it, yeah. I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
Oh, no, that's okay.
I didn't realize that the university does projects separate from the city.
Yep, mm-hmm, yep.
Yeah. Sometimes it catches us, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Although we work well together.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, go on.
Yep. So a couple projects that we will have starting in the next few weeks. One of them is the second phase of Clark Avenue reconstruction. This location is going to be from Lincoln Way up to the railroad tracks. We did work on it last year from the railroad tracks north. So now we're on the south side. It will be a full closure of Clark.
It's between Lincoln Way and the railroad tracks on,
yes,
Clark.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep. So we have Gilchrist, kind of the alley in there, to keep access to all the businesses while we're doing the work. Mm-hmm. We just don't have that crossing of the tracks. Anticipated duration, 4 to 6 weeks. Anticipated start date is Monday of next week. We do have message boards up currently, kind of warning the public of that upcoming start, and we'll be doing a press release probably today. I'll get that typed up. So another project that we have starting, this one's a little farther away, but still worth mentioning, Lincoln Way and Franklin. We are doing intersection improvements out there, lane widening, mm-hmm, along Lincoln Way for the project. I believe the contractor is going to start on the south side there with the development that's also going up in that area.
So that's on the west end of town.
Yes, that,
mm-hmm,
is out west.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So I believe, you know, they're kind of looking at the first week of August to get that week started, I think, or to get that work started. A couple weeks probably on the south side there. And then we need to get them flipped over to the north side and basically do that same type of widening work on the north side. So, you know, project duration entirely is, you know, a couple months. Should be able to get that thing wrapped up by the end of fall. Another project worth noting is we're doing quite a few spot repairs to our sanitary sewer system. Now, that involves spot repairs to the actual pipe in the ground or work on manholes. So it's kind of a quick-hitting project as the contractor moves around town. So, you know, we're trying to address the traffic control for each site as quickly as possible and make sure everything's set up properly for that work as it moves around. Certainly something worth noting. I think that's all I got for construction currently. Another thing worth mentioning is that tomorrow evening we will be hosting a public information meeting for our stormwater erosion control program along the South Skunk River. We're doing bank stabilization, slope stabilization, drainage improvements to the trail along the South Skunk River, basically in the area between Carr Park up to Homewood Golf Course. So if anyone would like to attend, we'd certainly like to have you. The meeting will be from 5:30 to 7 p.m. at the City Council Chambers at City Hall.
Be explaining the project?
Yep. We'll be going over the project, impacts of it, timing of it. We'd also like to get as much feedback as possible from the general public and any adjacent properties or users of the trail or the river, and try and get that incorporated into our plans before we go out for a letting. So,
okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Our construction report from Mark Ganson, City Civil Engineer. Susan, what else do we have?
We have a lot of stuff going on in July, and I just want to hit on some of the bigger projects we are working on. The community solar project has been identified as a priority by the Ames City Council. That's been kind of a grassroots effort to bring a solar project to Ames, something that Ames Electric Services customers could buy into and commit to renewable energy. So we're getting closer and closer to having that project really take off. We're at the stage now where we're going to have meetings so people can learn more about how they can get involved and even sort of sign a pre-intent commitment letter that, yes, they're interested. What you would do is to buy into a share of the percentage of energy produced. So if this sounds of interest to you, and we have had a lot of positive feedback on this project.
So this is an investment opportunity.
It is an investment. You do have to be an Ames Electric Services customer to invest.
Mm-hmm.
It is, and it is at this point in time, solar energy is more expensive than traditional energy. So there is a bit of a premium involved, but it's a one-time buy-in. We're calling it a buy-in to a power pack. And it is a percentage of about 1 to 2.5% of the energy produced by the panels you would get back on your bill as a credit over a long-term commitment of up to 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
There's a lot of details that are still we're hammering them out, but we are working on a model that has worked in Cedar Falls. And so it is a lot to wrap your arms around. But if you're interested, we'd really enjoy seeing you at our workshops. We have three of them scheduled coming up in the next few weeks. The first is 7 p.m. on Tuesday, July 18th. The second and third are 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. on Wednesday, July 26th. These are all at the Ames Public Library, 515 Douglas, second floor meeting rooms. Again, 7 p.m. on Tuesday, July 18th. And 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. on Wednesday, July 26th. We have those dates on our website, if I got them incorrect, cityofames.org. Be sure to check out our calendar. Those are at the library. As I said, we've had a lot of positive feedback on going forward with the community solar project. A lot of people very interested in being part of the renewable energy movement, committing to renewable energy, despite the slightly higher costs at this point. But feeling that renewable energy is an important part of being a responsible, sustainable community resident. So we're anticipating we need to get commitment. We need to sell about 80% of the shares before we can move forward. So we know it's a bit of an uphill climb, but initial feedback has been very positive and I'm feeling optimistic. So, again, mark your calendar for those if you're interested. Another kind of sustainable project we have coming up is the Rummage Rampage. I was here about a year ago talking about this event. It was our first annual Rummage Rampage.
That's right.
Last year, 2016. 2017, we're back.
Uh-huh.
This event is a community-wide garage sale or rummage sale held in the intermodal facility or the parking ramp on Hayward, 129 Hayward Avenue, right on campus. Kind of in the middle of that construction that Mark just talked about, not too far from that. But you'll find us. I know you will. And it was such a success last year where we basically asked the community, everybody in the community, students, permanent residents, to give us your still usable but unneeded furniture, housewares, items that you are maybe you're moving or they've been in your basement for a long time and you don't need them anymore, donate them to this event. And we will resell those at a very low cost. There wasn't anything above $20, I don't think, last year.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And through the use of community volunteers who represent different nonprofit organizations, we give all the proceeds back to those nonprofits. We were able to give $5,000 last year to, I think, about 10 nonprofit groups mm-hmm. who staff the event. And it was such a success that we have grown it this year to add another day. We're going to go Friday, July 28th, and then we're going to continue all the way to Wednesday, mm-hmm. August 2nd, with different hours each day. The first day, Friday, July 28th, is a drop-off day. There is no sales that day. So the big event starts, the garage sale would start Saturday, July 29th, mm-hmm. where you could actually come and make purchases. It was phenomenal last year. That first level of the parking ramp was nearly filled with furniture, okay. and no way were we prepared for the quality and the quantity.
yeah, I saw some interesting things there. And it's also it's a great way to get rid of things because we had two large couches here at the station that we wanted to get rid of, and they were picked up and brought down there and went to a nice family in Nevada. So it's an opportunity to get rid of big things.
It is.
There is a truck that will pick things up.
There is. You can schedule a pickup by going to the city's website, cityofames.org/rummage rampage, and you can schedule a pickup. We do ask for a $20 donation, mm-hmm. and that, again, goes right to those nonprofits. And we can get that item carted away. You don't have to see it again.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity.
Made a donation. Mm-hmm. And like you said, it was amazing, the turnout. We kind of thought about this as sort of a student-centered event that students would come and get furniture for their new apartments. That really wasn't what we saw. We saw just all different aspects of the community and from outside of Ames coming in because people needed a table or a couch or and for, you know, $5, $10, $20, they could pick up a piece of quality furniture and help furnish their own homes. And that is exactly what the people who donated the furniture wanted to happen.
So it was Rummage really Rampage. Good stuff, guys.
Yeah, it's excellent.
Good stuff. We have a few more minutes left.
Okay. Just a reminder, this is the time of year that people are moving and transitioning from one home to another. We remind you that if you need to stop, start, or transfer your utilities, make those calls as soon as possible. You can do that online. Stop, start, or transfer utilities online at amesutilities.com, or you can call in 515-239-5120. Just a reminder, if you're moving.
Say the phone number one more time.
515-239-5120.
Okay.
Yeah. Get that done early and you'll be glad you did.
Anything else, Susan?
No. Just another busy month, and
awesome.
We're working hard for you.
Thank you so much, Susan. It's always a pleasure to see you once a month. And I've been your host for today, Ursula Rudenberg. I've been here with Rebecca Reuter. And earlier, we heard from Leanne Harder from Story County and Gail Seiler with friends from the Cedar River at Project AWARE, a watershed awareness river expedition of the Department of Natural Resources. Local Talk airs at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. here on KHOI 89.1 FM. Also, remember that you can hear us online at khoifm.org, and you can hear a play for download version of the show on our show on our homepage, and we also have links to the guests and the information you heard about on the program. KHOI is streaming live on khoifm.org. Our theme song, as always, is Backtracking by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Rebecca Reuter was our engineer today and my co-host. And thank you, Rebecca. Local Talk is a radio production workshop as well as a show. So if you'd like to try your hand at reporting, we'll train you. Come on in and join the Local Talk team. Remember that you, the listener, are what makes KHOI meaningful and possible. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again on the radio.
Support for KHOI comes from Mary Greeley Medical Center, providing inpatient and outpatient services on a continuum of care, located at 1111 Duff Avenue in Ames. Find out more information at www.mgmc.org. That's mgmc.org.